You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We are just 3 weeks into this year, but 2026 has seen the direction of American foreign policy become more alarming on the global stage, with the kidnapping of the Venezuelan president, Nicolas Maduro, preceding threats upon Greenland, bringing them into open conflict, diplomatic conflict with their ostensible NATO allies. As the state that has often been described as the global policeman shows increasing disregard for international law, people have been left wondering what is in store in the future and if another international leader can take their place. To get perspective on the future of the international order, I spoke with the co-director of global studies at the University of Auckland, Chris Ogden. Okay, I want to start us off today by discussing the aggressive gearing that the American foreign policy has developed into in recent months and whether or not countries can dissociate themselves from it.
Yeah, so absolutely, US foreign policy seems to be much more aggressive, assertive, confident, and really not committing itself to any form of diplomacy. It seems to be a kind of brute force diplomacy. America says what it wants. If it doesn't get it, it threatens, it uses sanctions, it uses military force, and intimidates everybody, intimidates allies, intimidates enemies. It seems that there's no bounds to this at the moment. So we should think that Trump, for example, has just taken out the leader of Venezuela, bombed Nigeria last year, now threatens Iran, and is hugely threatening to take over Greenland. In terms of standing up, it's difficult because it seems that Trump is just doubling down and doubling down. You can see this against European leaders who support Greenland are now threatened with tariffs, for example. And really, this points to some form of confrontation and wider instability.
Conservative legislator in the United States, Newt Gingrich, recently commented on Trump's gearing, his posture towards Greenland, and claimed it was, in his mind, a negotiating tactic. Do you feel like it's fair for other countries to believe that it's more than that?
Yeah, I mean, this is one way of looking at it, that you're going very hard at the beginning, you say you want 100% of something, and then you maybe end up with 70% of something. But by doing that, Trump looks as though he's threatening the destruction of NATO, which is a major security alliance that's meant to protect Europe and protect against threats from Russia. He also looks as though he's ripping up World Trade Organization regulations, free trade regulations. So it seems as though it's a very high stakes approach. And regardless of where it falls, I think distrust for the United States will be at an all-time high, and they'll find themselves alone in international relations, whereby they can't be trusted, they won't be believed, and they won't be seen as an honest partner. So either way that you look at it, it's going to incur long-term damage to the United States.
How significant is this as a threat to undermining the cornerstone institutions of our international system, like the WTO?
Yeah, I think it's not even really a fundamental threat. It's a fundamental destructive move. Already we can see it, say, in the United Nations, that the United States has removed lots of its funding, removed lots of aid. This undermines what the UN is. As we mentioned before, similar things happening with NATO, similar things happening with free trade. So all those pillars of the liberal international order, which the US itself built in order to continue its power, look as though they're being taken apart actively by the people who made them in the first place. So I think we're definitively moving into a different kind of a world. And as we move, I think a lot is in flux. And again, there'll be plenty of instability and maybe chaos.
Given this change and flux and American withdrawal from the system that they had helped to lead and create, what alternatives out there exist if a new international system were to emerge?
So, I mean, first of all, there are lots of other institutions out there that are kind of vying for influence. There's the BRICS, for example, the grouping with Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. There are other security organizations. I think what's going to happen in the short term is that all countries are going to look to each other, apart from the United States, for some form of stability. So any country that wants to support free trade, a rules-based order, or at least a kind of regulated international order, they are going to attract partners. Now, that might mean people move maybe more towards China, maybe they move more towards the European Union, but at the moment, anything that isn't the United States, I think, has some form of attraction.
You've made the argument before that New Zealand should join BRICS. Could you make that argument, or would you make that argument again for our listeners, or would the current situation change your thinking?
Yes, I think the argument there is that there's a huge economic grouping which is bigger than the G7. Why wouldn't you join it in terms of the benefits that that might bring? But equally, it's kind of a good idea to be in the room with those countries, even though some of them are highly authoritarian, such as China, and highly distasteful, such as Russia, in order to maybe try and change the way that they think and influence them in different ways. Again, I think the approach should be a kind of maximum flexibility approach. Sure, you can join the BRICS, but you still support the UN, you still support other organizations, and just see it as a kind of insurance policy if these other groupings go south, as it were.
So, in expanding our options, sort of increasing that multilateralism, increasing the engagement with the world?
I think so, and not being constrained. At the moment, if we just see ourselves as being with the West, or we need to put up with the US because we believe that things will get better, that will prevent or limit our options. So the more open we are, the less constrained we'll be, the more positive futures will be, I think.
In the press release that you released, you talked about the possibility of China filling the void that American withdrawal from the international system might cause.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think a Chinese-led world order could look like?
That's a pretty big question. I think the main thing from the Chinese side would be they have a quest for stability. So they want trade partners they can rely upon. They want to have consistent growth, consistent domestic modernization and development. But at the same time, as they become more influential, they will start to ask for other things. So one big thing would be no opposition concerning Taiwan. And that may well become a condition of support or becoming a partner of China. So I think the system would look more stable, potentially more kind of benign, but it would rest upon Chinese authority and dominance in particular ways. And then my final observation would be, and this relates again to a multipolar order, is it does open up the possibility for more chaos in the sense of there's no clear global policeman in the way that the US was. So China doesn't look willing to intervene in conflicts, for example. So does that mean, say, civil wars in Syria, conflicts in Yemen or elsewhere, will they just keep going without any solution?
Do you feel like there's a possibility of the EU moving towards China itself, given these threats towards Greenland?
I think we're definitely moving into a kind of multipolar future, which means that there's lots of different centres of power and influence. The EU would be one of those, China would be one of those, Russia would be one of those, the US, and maybe India. I don't know whether you would see a kind of explicit alliance between the EU and China, but I could definitely see a doubling down where both sides say, we're not going to put tariffs on each other, we're going to encourage as much free trade as possible, we're going to explore different ways of opening up each other's markets as an alternative to the United States in order to protect themselves from the kind of threats that are emanating from the United States. So again, if they do less trade with the United States, when Trump puts on tariffs, they'll be better protected.
And for a country like New Zealand, what would stepping out of the American orbit look like, looking towards other nations, as you say?
Yeah, I think from the New Zealand's perspective, first of all, there needs to be a recognition that the world is getting increasingly complex. So it's not as simple as maybe some analysts thinking that we're always aligned with the West, for example. And equally understanding that, you know, one day we can have very close economic relations, say, with China. Maybe we have a different relationship concerning human rights with maybe an EU power, but we need a more multivarious kind of approach in different ways. I think also where strength lies for New Zealand is maybe focusing upon national values and what they bring to international politics. So at the moment, for the US, it's just all about raw military power. There's no concern about culture, different ways of doing things. And I think that's where New Zealand has strength, and that's where they can find other partners and potentially find some kind of third way through this.
With a lot of contemporary worrying about conflict between America and China in the Pacific, do you feel the West might have become a bit too invested in a with us or against us mentality in relation to this?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the foundation of US foreign policy. I think it needs enemies. It needed an enemy in the Cold War through the Soviet Union. War on terror, war on drugs, now China. I think it always needs some kind of threat to act against. But that goes against peace, stability, and overall security. And I think the danger really here is that the US will find itself more and more isolated, and that Trump will reach for more and more powerful tools, and that could well lead to direct conflicts, or at least through kind of proxies.
So I'll ask this before we wrap up.
Okay.
Again, it's a bit of a repeat of a question, but what can New Zealand do? What do you think New Zealand should do here?
So I think New Zealand needs to think about what it stands for and what it wants. So rather than being kind of pushed and buffered by these winds coming from the United States, think about where it wants to end up. It also seems quite obvious with the example of what's happening with the EU at the moment that you can only flatter Trump so much, but when he wants something, he'll threaten and threaten as much as he possibly can. So I think New Zealand would be well placed to think about its values, think about finding alternative partners, and accept that the world is changing. And even though that brings uncertainty, try and plot a course towards what it wants, rather than a future that maybe others, such as the United States, want.
And do you have any leaving words with us? Anything you want to say before we go?
I think it's going to get a lot worse. I'm not very optimistic, is it, Emmanuel? But
yeah,
I think it will. Trump is an egotistical, narcissistic leader who wants others to love him. And in this situation, he's going to come up against those who completely refuse to fulfill that for him. And I think that will make him even more sensitive, even more emboldened, and even more irrational and dangerous.
Well, that's certainly cheery.
Sorry. it's the way it looks. Probably not helped by this stormy day looking out the window.
No.
Like, it's the way it feels.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And would you have any suggestions to deal with this other than the things we've talked about? Or would you say, yeah, you know, the solutions have been laid out and that those are all we have?
No, I think there's, I mean, in a way, there's lots of positives here. Okay, like the existing order is changing and a new order will come about. And if it is more multipolar, it means that there are many more possibilities. And New Zealand's not the only country out there that is a democracy, wants to protect human rights, wants free trade, wants peace and stability. So I think within that understanding, there are lots of positive futures that can come about. I think that leaders, though, they need to start to actively craft them, again, rather than being kind of pushed around or kowtowing to the most powerful.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Chris Ogden.
Okay. All right.
Have a very lovely day, and hopefully the weather gets a bit better. That was the co-director of global studies at the University of Auckland, Chris Ogden, on how the United States actions are eroding the rules-based international order and what countries like New Zealand can do to find stability.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.